I admit I was nervous to stand before you and talk because I get so much encouragement from you all. So today I wanted to just share a verse that has spoken to me particularly over the years and came back up again over the last couple months. And that was from Romans chapter 5, verse 8. And it talks directly kind of what Stephen's video was talking about, in that God showed his love for us in this, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Not that we were already good, but that we were still bad. So before I go on, we'll go ahead and open up in prayer. Lord, I thank you for today. I thank you for the opportunity to stand before you, to worship you, and be made right before you by the actions of your Son, Lord. I ask your blessing upon this time we have together. I ask that it be your words that are spoken, your message that is communicated. Because if it's mine, Lord, it won't be worth anything. And it won't be worthy of you, Lord. We just ask that you speak through me this morning. That as I prepared, you had given the message to me and the words to speak, to share those things that are on my heart in ways that most importantly have impacted me, Lord, because that's how you ask us to go share with other people and tell what you've done for us. So I thank you for that. I thank you for our time together. Look forward to what you will bring today and in the future. In Jesus' name, pray. So Ron's here, so he can definitely sympathize with this next part as far as the introduction and why this verse maybe is so impactful to me. I found it, and it resurfaced to me as I was on the road, and you can call me crazy, but I didn't realize that they play Christian music at Hobby Lobby until I walked into one in Manchester, New Hampshire. And I've been meaning to get a book for a little bit to write my sermon notes in so they weren't just on index cards stuck in my Bible and what I was praying for, so I could go back and see how God's worked throughout the week and in my life. And so I was able to pick up a prayer journal there that I bring, and I take my notes in, I write my prayer requests in, and write the praises in as well. And in there was this verse, and that's what brought me back to it today. And so that started last fall, so a year ago. So it's amazing to see how God works and how he is faithful. But the part that Ron's going to know is the part that comes next, which is how this is so much different from what God's plan is. And it starts out with, we walk back in the door at a day of work at the base, and it starts with plans, products, brief, admin, practical admin, and execution. That's how we start when we go over every single portion of our flight when we work on the base. And every flight is debriefed in that same manner. Each action that everyone in the entire formation does, everything they say, everything they don't do, everything they don't say, since they showed up that morning, is meticulously gone through. And it's scrutinized as we go through the debrief. Any deviation from the standard, no matter how small, is highlighted. And it's not just highlighted just to that individual. It's highlighted in front of the entire group. We play back the tapes, and we watch the mistakes play out time and time again as we agonize over what should have happened, what did happen, and how do we fix that so it never happens again. It's very critical, and if you happen to make a mistake that's serious enough that causes a mission failure, meaning that we didn't hit a target, we lost an aircraft, we lost something, a person in the flight, we'll spend even more time going over just those things that, what was the root cause? Who was the one person responsible for all of it? And if everything goes well, after about 90 minutes, depending upon how long-winded the speaker is, we'll be done, and we'll get ready for the next day's events. But before we do so, specifically in the training environment, we'll then say, was that good enough? Did you pass muster? Can you move on? Are you acceptable? And if not, they'll repeat all over again. And if they continue to repeat, there's not unlimited at times. But at some point, they'll say, that's it. That's too much. You're not good enough. You will never be part of this community. And then it'll go down a process where the ramifications are serious enough to where they could even no longer be flying or even in the Air Force. And even if they're good enough, you always come back knowing that you're only as good as your last performance. And you're constantly judged by how that last performance just went. And, you know, Ron's lived that, as I have for the last 15 years. And it may seem like this is something that's limited to the base. It may seem like it's something limited to even the military or even just this particular, part of the military. But in reality, I think we see this all around us every day. We see this play out, on the national stage just recently with the, confirmation of judges. We see it in our mailboxes daily as we get the mailers looking for people to vote for, looking for our votes as the election day comes up. We see it on social media as people ring out on Facebook and pass judgment on people. And, say things that would say, hey, they're not worthy to be here. Their point of view isn't valid. They aren't worth anything. And it happens so many times, and it's no wonder that we see this as a huge problem today. People have just enormous problems with guilt, with self-doubt, and with depression. Because we live in a society that demands justice. Doesn't ask for it, but demands justice. So long as they weren't the offending person. So that offending person, what do they call out for? They'll call out for forgiveness. They call out for an apology. And they look for grace. And they often don't find it in the world. And that's the reason I find this verse in Romans to be so powerful, because that's not the way that I have seen God work in my life, and I see that God's plan works out in others' lives. We all long to be part of something, an organization, part of who we are. Whether it's an organization that's in the military, a squadron, a church, a family, we all long for that sense of belonging. And too many times the world tells us that we don't belong, we shouldn't be there, that we need to earn our way. And in reality, that's such a contrast to what we see when we see God's Word. We see that we don't have to prove ourselves first, because that's great. Because in the previous example, in 15 years, I've never had a perfect flight. In my life, I've never had a perfect day. And I don't think any of us can say we've ever put our head down the pillow and thought, man, I did everything perfectly today. There's no regrets I have with respect to I should have said this or I could have said that. Could I have shared something else with that person? Could I have spoken something else to them? Could I have been more kind to them? Could I have not had that thought as I'm driving on the way to Raleigh in traffic and the person cuts me off? Because I think that's really shows us where we really are. And I think that's why it's just so wonderful, that news of the gospel, and it really is wonderful news, is that while we were still not good enough, God died for us. While we were still sinners, while we were still separated, while we were still enemies of Him, He died for us. He forgave us. We didn't have to prove ourselves worthy before God acted. In fact, our belonging to God is more based on, more in spite of what we've done than what we actually have done. We continue to find mercy that we desire and belongingness that we look for despite our flaws. We find the peace that eludes us everywhere else in the world where we are rejected and judged. And we truly see the truth of the words that Jesus speaks to us in Matthew 11. When He says, come to Me, all who labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take My yoke upon you and learn from Me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart. You will find rest for your soul. For My yoke is easy, My burden is light. And it doesn't mean that the work we do isn't important. It doesn't mean that the work we do in the base, or we do as teachers, we do as engineers, or as parents, is easy. But the burden's light because we know that our position and who we are is not dependent upon how well we do these things, but depend upon a relationship with Jesus Christ. We are no longer relying on our own actions, which is especially freeing considering that we constantly see that we just can't live up to God's standards. But it doesn't just end there. It doesn't just end with us. Because while our relationship with God and our salvation and our acceptance by Him isn't based on anything we've done or continue to do, it does compel us to act. It does compel us to say something. And this is the second part that came up just a couple weeks ago when I saw this, found this in my quiet time as I was reading through 2 Corinthians. And this is from chapter 5, because from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we were once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard Him no longer. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away and the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to Him and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to Himself, not counting their trespasses against them or entrusting us, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making His appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. What does this mean for us, though? For the first part, we've already talked about. It doesn't matter what we did. We were once counted by what we did according to the flesh. But the second part is what it compels us to do. We've been given the ministry of reconciliation. We've been given that task of sharing those wonderful things that God has done in our life, the way in which He has taken something that was an enemy to Himself and made it part of His family, that we could be called His sons and daughters. We're compelled to tell others of this good news for the simple reason that belonging to God is more important than our belonging to any other group in the world. It's more important than me being in the Air Force. It's more important than me being a pilot. It's more important even than me being a parent. Me belonging to God is more important than all these things. And He asked us to share that with others so they can see and experience that for themselves as well. And I see that at work in my life each and every day, and I see God's, and as I speak to people, I can say where He's done this in my life, and He's continually showed Himself to be gracious and merciful to me. A fairly recent song, again, I said, well, it's traditional. I've been influenced by maybe some more popular praise songs, partly because working with some of the youth at the Robot Club, and partly because I have some people who like to dance to praise songs around the house, and I'm thankful for that. So this song is recent. When I say recent, it's 2008, so it's all relative, right? But it spoke to me, and it was by Brandon Heath, and the opening lines really caught my attention, and I'll give you a little more background on it afterwards. But it starts out with, "Look down from a broken sky, traced out by the city lights. My world from a mile high, best seat in the house tonight. Touch down on the cold black top, hold on for the sudden stop. Breathe in the familiar shock of confusion and chaos. All these people going somewhere, why have I never cared?" And what's interesting to me is how that song had an impact on me. This was long before I even considered. In fact, I was fairly set against doing anything in flying in the airline industry, but now I see it play out in front of me every day. You see the humanity of people that are just, and if you haven't been in an airport recently, it is chaos. People are going all over the place, people are stopping, they're going. And the song talks just about how that we ask for God's eyes to see people and see what's going on in their lives, that we can step in, we can give them that good news of that acceptance by Him, what God has done for Him, done for them, and what that means for them in their lives. We're each placed here by God in unique areas. So in my area, I get to go and see that chaos. And in fact, I just got back from it on Friday. But He puts each of us in a sphere of influence. And He's got us there for a reason. It may not be in Africa. It may not be on the mission field that we traditionally think of the mission field. But in cases where our mission fields are the classroom, they're the robot, the bot shop, they're prisons, they're the base, and they're factories. And as a new creation, we're called to see people through God's eyes and share that goodness through them. And that means, unlike the world who says, you have to prove to me that you're good enough, we already know that they're good enough because they're made in His image and they've got worth because of it. Worth for us to invest our time, because it's possibly the easiest thing to write a check and let somebody else do the work and not get our hands dirty. But the harder thing is to invest our time, which we have such a finite amount of, into their lives. And that means stopping and talking to them. That means holding their hand. That means praying with them. That means asking them if they're doing okay. That means putting their needs first. That means serving them. Because that's what we're called to do. Unless we think we can do it on our own strength, because I'm reminded of the verses that precede verse 8 in Romans 5, which says that for one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would even dare to die. We're often not called to die for someone, but what does that mean? We're called to sacrifice our time, our talents, to serve other people, whether they're friendly or not, whether they're our enemies or not, whether we expect anything good from them or not. Because that's the love that we're called that sets us apart. That's the love that shows people that we are right. He is in us. And again, this can be hard. In fact, I know for myself, I can't speak for you, but I can't do it on my own strength. I can only do it in His strength. And I can only do it by staying in His Word each day and praying for our heart and especially for our eyes like His. And I think as I close here, I just think about, again, we're serving a God who steps in at the moment when we think everything is lost, steps in at the lowest points of our lives, or other people's lives, and brings them up and saves them. And that's the God we serve, not one who waits for us to make everything good, to make ourselves acceptable, but one who takes us in the mud and brings us up and cleans us off and leaves us flawless. Well, let's take time every day to invest in those around us. In doing so, we have the opportunity to introduce them to His amazing grace. Thank you. Pray with me. Lord, I thank You for what You've done. I thank You for how You love us and how You care for us, how You provide for us, how You sent Your Son over 2,000 years to die for us so that we may know You and be in a relationship with You, that we may not be cut off, that we're not forced to prove that we're good enough or strong enough or smart enough, but that we can enjoy our relationship with You because of what You've done, and that we can share that with others. We can share with them Your goodness and Your grace and the impact You've had in our lives so that they can learn to trust You as their Savior and have that relationship with You and experience it for themselves. We thank You for that. We pray for our week ahead, and we pray that we would have the courage to invest in others' lives. Again, whether they're useful to us or not, whether they're friendly to us or not, whether they're enemies to us or not. And that we would take our strength from You as we do so. And that we would give all glory back to You for all the wonderful things You've done in our lives, the lives of others, and in the future. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Would you please stand?
Forgiven because You were forsaken. I'm accepted. You were condemned. I'm alive and well. Your Spirit lives within me because You died and rose again. I'm forgiven because You were forsaken. I'm accepted. You were condemned. I'm alive and well. Your Spirit lives within me because You died and rose again. Amazing love, how can it be that You, my King, should die for me? Amazing love, I know it's true. It's my joy to honor You in all I do. To us. I'm forgiven because you were forsaken. I'm accepted, you were condemned. I'm alive and well, your spirit lives within me because you died and rose again. Amazing love, how can it be that you, my King, should die for me? Amazing love, I know it's true. It's my joy to honor you in all I do. Should die for me. Amazing love, I know it's true. It's my joy to honor you. You, my King, should die for me. Amazing love, I know it's true. It's my joy to honor you in all I do. To honor you in all I do. To honor.